Well, it's a privilege to be here. I'm always awed. I'm always awed that somebody would listen to me in this place. An old story goes that a chicken and a pig were watching a group of demonstrators marching for a very worthy cause. Said the chicken to the pig, "Let's get involved." Said the pig to the chicken, "How do you propose we do that?" Said the chicken to the pig, "Let's serve those marchers ham and eggs for breakfast." The pig looked very dourly at the chicken and said, "To you, that may be involvement. To me, it is total commitment." I think for most of us, we would say that we want to be more than involved in the Christian life. We want to be committed. We want to live life wholeheartedly. We want to be, as the Bible talks about, overflowing with joy. But instead, we often find ourselves living life disgruntled. Now, of course, in order to live a life of joy, we've got to learn and continue to learn what I call the biggies of the Christian life. God's incredible love for us. God's sovereignty. God's faithfulness in every situation. But in my own life, I've discovered a few of what I call the VIP lessons for the soul. Meaning very important personal lessons that if we aren't learning, we're going to live resentfully sometimes, with bitterness, depression, discouragement. And I want to share just one such VIP lesson from my life this morning. And it all wrapped up in Colossians 3:23, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as for the Lord and not for men." Sounds easy, doesn't it? But oh, it's not. I began to learn this lesson, or rather God began to teach me this lesson many, many years ago when Jack took a position as youth director in a large church in Portland, Oregon. We moved there enthusiastic with stars in our eyes, a year-old daughter, and raring to go. I decided that because I loved junior-age children and because I majored in Christian education in college, that I would take on junior church. At that time, about 8 to 10 kids were attending a very unenthusiastic group. Soon we had 40 to 50 coming, and they were as excited as I was. And I got the bright idea that it would be wonderful to teach them really what communion meant. And to take 4 weeks to do that, and then ask the pastor and got his permission to take them down to Big Church for the communion service. That was what we did. The ones who were prepared to do it, did it, and loved it. I counted it a success with a capital F. But I had neglected to do one thing. I forgot to ask the parents. And 2 or 3 days later, I heard about it in no uncertain terms, that I had forgotten to ask the parents. You know what my immediate reaction was? As my daughter would say, "Well, y'all hang it on your beak." That was my immediate reaction. Forget you. I'm not paid to do this. I couldn't care less if I never do it again. Now, you can do it yourself. I quit. And then the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, "Carol, who are you doing it for?" And I said, "Well, I'm doing it for the kids." And he said, "Well, that's good, but it's not good enough." I said, "Well, I'm doing it for the church." And he said, that's good, but it's not good enough. And I said, "Well, I'm doing it to help Jack." And he said quietly to my heart, but very firmly, "That's good, but it's not good enough." And then this verse thundered in my heart, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as for the Lord, not for was a lesson that I have had to relearn many times. And you know what I discover as a good checkup as to who I'm really doing things for? Is when I've done my very best, when I poured out my heart to do something, when I've worked really hard, and then not only am not appreciated, not only not thanked, but criticized. What about you? A few years later, we found ourselves in Glen Ellyn, Illinois. Just about to move into a house where we could have four guys living with us for training. The day before we were to move into the house, the owner came to us and told us that he had decided to turn the efficiency apartments that surrounded it into a motel, and that the person that was living in the house was going to have to manage this motel. It meant someone being there 24 hours a day, and of course that someone ended up most of the time being me. Not only did that happen, but the person who was cleaning the motel quit, cleaning the units of the motel quit, and so I found myself cleaning motel rooms. And I can remember specifically cleaning motel toilets. It's got to be one of the most, well, least something or other jobs in the whole wide world. And so I'm sitting on the floor cleaning this motel toilet, and I'm saying to the Lord, Lord, you know I could be doing something else. I could be leading a Bible study. I could be taking meals to shut-ins. I could be talking to people about Christ. I could be doing something else that would be a whole lot more pleasant and probably a whole lot more profitable. And then this verse thundered into my heart again. Carol, whatever you do, do it heartily as to me. And I said, even cleaning motel toilets, Lord? And he said, yeah, even cleaning motel toilets. That lesson was to come back to me time and again, because there are so many jobs in this life that are plain, dull, boring, ugly, dirty, whatever, you know. That, friends, if we're doing it for people, we're going to end up bitter, resentful, hurt, unappreciated, and depressed. I have discovered that I can scrub floors and iron and do the thousand things that we do every day, and I can do it for God because it's His business, what He calls me to, right? It's His business to take care of the dailies. And when He wants to change that business, He will. And I don't have to worry about it. I don't learn easily. And the last lesson came just last January. On the best of my days, I am not a good golfer. This was one of the worst of days. Every time I hit the ball, it either went into the sand trap or into the water. I got so disgusted that I picked up my ball on the last two holes, refused to play them, and steamed off the golf course, muttering, murmuring, complaining. I was saying out loud, I don't know why I do this. I'm no good at it. I'm horrible at it. It's no fun when I play like this. Why am I even doing this? Jack, my husband, ever patient, leaned over to me, gave me a little squeeze, and whispered in my ear, "You do it for me." At that moment, all I could do was glare at him. But later, I thought, you know, he's right on. That is the reason I play golf. That is the only reason I play golf. Though now, I admit, I enjoy it most of the time. And you know, just knowing that changed my attitude around 180 degrees. And I looked forward to the next time we were on the course. Friends, when you start at church or at work or at home, and you start to murmur and complain and mutter and get steamed, and you're saying, I hate this. It is no fun. I'm no good at it. Why am I even doing this? Stop a minute. Listen. Hear God's voice saying to your ear, and hear his arms of love, feel his arms of love around you, but hear him saying, "My child, you do it for me. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as for the Lord and not for men." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this very important personal lesson that you continue to teach me. And Lord, I pray for every single one here who I know, most of whom really want to be committed and not just involved with you. And I pray that they will be open to your testings, open to your lessons and all the little dailies that are so irritating and frustrating sometimes. And that they will not only take the time to stop and learn from these testings, but to stop a minute to hear you say, "My child, you do it for me." I thank you for everyone here and for the way they serve you and for the way they lift the load for all of us. And we thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.